All right. Well, everything's going smoothly. I'm having the best time tonight, you know, because I've reached a spiritual impasse where there's nothing that could happen that will bother me. Now, I grant you that requires an enormous amount of carbohydrates. I've put on, I don't know, 200 pounds in the past week. But the fact is that we've been technically challenged tonight for reasons that none of us truly understand. We've had a lot of help from Dave Scalish and John Cole and Matt DeSantis and Frank at Westwood One, and I appreciate the help. And everybody's doing their best. And I finally reached a point of maturity where I can't get excited. Everybody's doing their best. Okay. By the way, is Weatherby there for the weather? Do you have Weatherby weather available? All right. Hey, John, let's hear the weather for Christmas.
Sterling on Sunday. Weather, first of all.
That was good. Let's try again. Hello? Hello? In my ear, I have... My friend is
Sterling on Sunday weather. First of all, happy holidays. All of us in the Weather Center wish you health and happiness for you and your family right into 2020. And what a privilege to help with your holiday week weather right here on Sterling on Sunday. Hopefully your local meteorologist laid out the plans for any travel, for procrastinators, and for Santa. What's your weather tomorrow? Soaking rain and howling winds to the southeast, with rains reaching southern Virginia later tomorrow night and pushing offshore. Strong to severe storms down I-95, heavier storms over Miami. And there's a new Pacific system bringing feet of snow to California. That works into the Great Basin tomorrow. Heavier rains across SoCal east to Vegas. And there's the southern end of another push of winter weather across the Pacific Northwest. Snows inland into Idaho. Otherwise, you're dry for tomorrow and above freezing in all the major cities. How about that? But you want to know what to expect for the rest of the holiday week? Well, that's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, story time.
Have you ever had to work on Christmas Day? I was stunned when I searched, well, let's see who does work Christmas Day. Now, when you and I think of who works on Christmas Day, it's pretty obvious. The airline pilots, fire, police. Okay, that makes sense. But then I saw that there were other people who work Christmas Day you and I never think about. We never think about. Funeral directors work on Christmas Day. There are people who never get a day off. We think about, well, the post office is closed. They don't have to work. Yes, but it's open December 26th. Therefore, they're working all day. Probably it's the 24th when they don't work. But on the 25th, they're working like a normal day because mail is delivered on the 26th. The one that blew me away, zoo directors. The guys who run zoos, the women who work in zoos, they're working on Christmas Day. The gorilla is not going to be very happy if they don't get fed. It will not be pretty the day after Christmas if the gorilla hasn't been fed. It's fascinating. But I have worked Christmas Day. Everybody who works in radio has worked Christmas Day. And yes, Corey, there are issues, and they're getting fixed. I got a text just now. And yes, they're getting fixed. But I have worked Christmas Day as a broadcaster. Now, let me tell you a thing about radio guys and radio women that's so weird. When you're 17, 18, 19, and you're starting out in radio, you fight to work on the weekends. You fight to work on Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, New Year's Day. You do whatever you can to work on those days. Anything that we can do to work on those days, we do. When I was 17-year-old, I said to them at a radio station, I said, let me work at the radio station on Christmas Day. And they're like, okay. Now, I'm going to tell you about a kind of radio station you don't know about. There used to be a kind of radio station called the Daytimer. This is a little bit of a radio story. You know, I don't tell radio stories, but this is not a bad story. There was a kind of radio station known as a Daytimer, and a lot of people in radio used to start at Daytimers. A Daytimer was a radio station, you won't believe this, what I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe, was a radio station that signed on when the sun came up, and it signed off when the sun went down. It signed on when the sun went up, and it signed off. That means that in December, it signed off at 4:30 in the afternoon. 4:30 in the afternoon. And I said to the owner of the station, let me work on Christmas Day. And he said, well, would you work all day Christmas Day? And I'm like, yes, because then I'd be in show business. Yes, I will work all day Christmas Day. Now, the radio station that I worked at was 1 hour from my home. It was at least an hour from my home. It might have been an hour and a half. hour and a half from my home. I'd have to drive on Christmas morning for an hour and a half to get to the radio station to sign it on when the sun went up and stay there all day playing Christmas music all day and turn it off when the sun went down. And I'm like, I'm there. How old am I when this happened? I was 17. 17. And I was 17. But that was the first year I had a driver's license. It was the first year that I could drive myself there. My mother, oh my gosh, she wouldn't let me see it, but I know she was ready to cry that I was going to be away Christmas Day to be at a radio station an hour and a half from home. All right. Barely slept, right? I get up. Now, I had in my head a vision of what it would be like to work all day Christmas Day in this tiny town in northwest New Jersey. A tiny town. Every city in America has one of these tiny towns with a little radio station in it that covers about a block, you know, about 100 watts, covers about a block. But man, I was going to be in show business. But in my head, and this is the danger, my friend, I had this romantic vision of what it would be like to work Christmas Day in a small town at a small radio station. And the vision in my head was this. Ready? The local townsfolk would bring me porridge, turkey, ham, good wishes, amusing carols. Maybe old Charlie would come to the station and tell me stories. Maybe I'd put old Charlie on the air. That was my vision. I'd get to the radio station, and shortly after arriving, the local townsfolk would show up at this station and be appreciative of what I was doing for them. They would be grateful for what I was doing for them. That was the vision I had. Now, I get in the car. It's Christmas morning. It's dark. I have to drive an hour and a half. And there was a layer of snow on the ground. It was very pretty. I get in the car. I start going. I had a Dodge Dart. A Dodge Dart with strange coloring. It was a very odd-looking car. It was rusted on one side, but man, it was my car. Now I get in it, and I'm driving on Route 22 in northern New Jersey. And every state in America has a Route 22, has a road that was before the highways, that got you there before the interstates. And there it was, with the giant pizzerias. I get in it, and I'm driving. And, excuse me, I get in it, and I'm driving. And I realize that for this hour and 30-minute drive, I saw something I had never seen before all the times I had driven on this road, all the different hours I had driven on this road. Now it's Christmas morning, and I'm not kidding you. I didn't see a police officer, not another. And this was the busiest road in New Jersey. Nobody was there. That should have been my first clue. Christmas morning, and nobody was there. Now I drive the hour and a half. I get to this obscure little town in northwest New Jersey, like an obscure town in northwest Indiana or northern California, Sonoma County, California. It's one of those places where there's nobody around. I get out of my car. I get to the building where the radio station is. I put my key in to the building to go to the radio station. And I figure pretty soon it'll become interesting in town. People will show up. It's my Christmas Day at a radio station story just for you. And I look forward to telling you more about it. Plus, if you want to hear the podcast of this story, that will be available to you later on. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Christmas is coming up. I have got a great story for you. Sterling on Sunday.
Walter. Sterling on Sunday weather. First of all, happy holidays. All of us in the Weather Center wish you health and happiness for you and your family right into 2020. And what a privilege to help with your holiday week weather right here on Sterling on Sunday. Hopefully your local meteorologist laid out the plans for any travel, for procrastinators, and for Santa. What's your weather tomorrow? Soaking rain and howling winds to the southeast, with rains reaching southern Virginia later tomorrow night and pushing offshore. Strong to severe storms down I-95. Heavier storms over Miami. And there's a new Pacific system bringing feet of snow to California. That works into the Great Basin tomorrow. Heavier rains across SoCal east of Vegas. And there's the southern end of another push of winter weather across the Pacific Northwest. Snows inland into Idaho. Otherwise, you're dry for tomorrow and above freezing in all all the major cities. How about that? But you want to know what to expect for the rest of the holiday week? Well, that's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. It's true. It's true. Plus the Spear of Destiny, the Holy Grail, $500 million worth of gold, your Curse of Oak Island update, later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, story time.
All right, I'm telling you this story about when I worked on Christmas Day, because I believe the phenomena of working Christmas Day is a unique experience, unlike what you could imagine. We learned, for example, that there are many people who work Christmas Day that we don't even think about, such as the zookeeper. The zookeeper has to work Christmas Day. People in the post office work Christmas Day because they deliver the mail on the 26th, and funeral directors work Christmas Day. But people at radio stations work Christmas Day. Now, this is what's weird. People at radio stations, when they're 16, 17, 18, fight to work Christmas Day because it's the only chance they're going to get to work on to work at the radio station. When I first started in radio, there was a thing called daytimers. There were daytimers. And what a daytimer was that it signed on when the sun came up, and it signed off the air when the sun went down. Now imagine that. Some of them were thriving businesses, most not, which is why they've pretty much gone away. But a daytimer would sign on when the sun came up, and you turned it off when the sun went down. I won't explain why we had to do that, but we did. I lived an hour and a half from the first radio station I worked at. It was a 1.5-hour drive. And they said, well, you know, Christmas is coming up. And I'm like, I'll work on Christmas Day. I was 17 years old. I went home and I said to my mom, I'm going to work Christmas Day at the radio station. What are you talking about? I'm going to work at the radio station on Christmas Day. What do you mean? I get there before it goes on. I sign it on and I sign it off. I'm there all day. I'm playing Christmas music all day. You mean you won't be home? Guilt, guilt, guilt. No, Mom, I won't be home, but I'll be in show business. It was an 1.5-hour drive to get there. It's Sunday morning. It's Christmas morning. And it's in northern New Jersey. Now, I had this weird romantic notion in my head that the townsfolk would come out during the day and bring turkey, fruits, stories. They'd gather around the radio station. They'd bring me into the community. That was my romantic fantasy. All right, now, I get to the station, I sign it on, and I realize a couple problems. Problem number one, there was no heat in the building. It was December 25th in North Jersey. There was no heat in the building because it was Christmas Day. Problem number two was that I didn't bring any change for the vending machine, and I did not bring any food. Because in my crazy head, I imagined that the townsfolk was going to bring me food. And, you know, now it's pushing 10, 11 in the morning, and the townsfolk were not bringing me food and hot chocolate. They weren't singing me carols outside the station. I kept looking outside the station at the fresh snow in this little town, and there was not one footstep anywhere. I'd look over there at the bank and the gas station and down the way at the pharmacy, and there was nobody there at all. It was like a set of a town, but there was nothing happening there because it was Christmas Day. And like I said, I didn't bring any change for the vending machine, and therefore I couldn't get any food out of it. And there was no heat in the building, so I could not take off my coat. And ultimately, by the time I turned off the radio station at 4:30 to drive 1 hour and 15 minutes home, I was starving. I had no food. I had no coffee, no milk, nothing. And I opened the door to leave the building, 4:30 in the afternoon, And I almost tripped and killed myself because I tripped over a gift basket that some sweet person had left there for me, filled with food and snacks. And it was a great gift. It was the biggest gift I could have ever had.
Story time. Hear the story again anytime with bonus footage and scenes. Download Midnight Misfits from Apple iTunes. Midnight Misfits Podcast.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. It is 13 past the hour, 13 past the hour. I have to tell you about CBD oil, CBD Distillery, CB Distillery, CBDistillery.com, CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com is an amazing company. It makes products distilled from marijuana that are legal, you don't need a prescription for, and they will not get you high. I found out about CBDistillery.com when I finally said one day, I am sick of the pain in my foot. I am tired of the pain in my thumbs. I went online looking for a product that would take away the pain. And from CB Distillery, I found a salve that I put on my thumbs and that I put on my feet. My feet have hurt since I was 12 years old. Since I was 12 years old. I put it on my foot, put it on my thumbs, and you know what happened? The pain didn't go away. The salve that I put on from CB Distillery, it didn't go away in a day or half a day or a couple hours. The salve that I got from CB Distillery went away immediately. The pain went away immediately. That was my experience. It may not be yours, but it was my experience. CB Distillery. They make oils. They make salves. I put it on my thumb, put it on my foot. The pain went away immediately. Where you get CBD products is crucial. I rely on CBDistillery.com for their quality control, independent lab tests, and nearly a quarter of a million customers. Got health concerns? You owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter Walter for 20% off. Again, Walter. Put in my name, Walter, for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Live from the laundry room, Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. For hymns.com/Walter. For hymns.com/Walter. You know about the little blue pill. And you know it used to be very expensive. It enabled you to make love on demand when you or your significant other, your partner, your wife, whoever, wanted to make love. This is a great product for both of you, right? It's for a medical condition. Sometimes it's difficult to make love on demand. My wife and I have found that the little blue pill from forhims.com/Walter, forhims.com/Walter, enhances our relationship.
I'm Walter's much younger, never suffering, very beautiful wife, and my friends and I love this time of year. We love a long stocking so filled that you can't even put your hands around it. We can enjoy a stocking like that anytime thanks to the little blue pill. My friends and I get the little blue pill from forhims.com/Walter. It's not expensive anymore. Now it's a generic medicine. forhims.com/Walter. The little blue pill is a relationship-enhancing medicine. Make love when you want, on demand.
This is a great product for women. It's a great product for guys. You get to share the intimacy that you had when you started, and now you can have it again anytime. forhims.com/Walter. This is Sterling on Sunday.
The Curse of Oak Island is getting ever closer to the money pit, where the Spear of Destiny, the Holy Grail, and $500 million of gold is. Digging on this island, which needs to be probed. This island has been probed like no other land in the world. And probing they did. And during the probe, they found a flood tunnel. A flood tunnel. This flood tunnel was built in the 1700s, maybe 1600s, maybe before. Stuff to tell, but it's organized wood. organized, underground, leading to the money pit. The money pit, where the Spear of Destiny, the Holy Grail, $500 million of gold, plus untold secrets. They are on Oak Island, and Season 7 is going along. The Laginas were all there. Rick Lagina, Marty Lagina, and Alex Lagina. Have you ever noticed Alex Lagina has more gray hair than his Uncle Rick? Huh. Whom to thunk that? Okay. Finding this flood tunnel confirms all the speculation of the great treasure on Oak Island. Why would there be flood tunnels? Who would have built flood tunnels on an island if there was no treasure? Of course there's treasure. Amazing, impeccable treasure. This amazing underground wood, well underground, is just the tip of the iceberg. This season is coming to an end, and we may know soon the gold on the island. Amazing gold! For your Curse of Oak Island update, I'm Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan for Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 20 past the hour, with Walter M. Sterling. It's been a very exciting night for everybody here. Did you see Saturday Night Live? Did you see it this week? Oh, my gosh, it was incredible. With Eddie Murphy, it was like, oh, yes, that's how it's supposed to be. Now I remember what it's supposed to be like. Incredible. Well, we just talked about working on Christmas, but there are a lot of people who work on Christmas, like the zookeeper, the funeral director. It's an amazing thing, truck drivers. And I always had, like I told you, great romance about working on Christmas Eve and working on Christmas Day. And I thought it would be a wonderful thing. But it turned out that it was kind of just very sad. Nobody was there at the radio station. Nobody visited me. Nobody called the radio station to say Merry Christmas. No one drunk called to the radio station to say Merry Christmas. It was quite something. Now, the other interesting thing to do on Christmas is to be in a different country. I've had the privilege, the opportunity. Have you ever been in a different country on Christmas? It's again, like working, it's not what I expected. I was in England, which was a lot like I expected. I was in England on a Christmas day, and that was a lot like I expected, except for two things. One, the Queen gives a speech at noon, and the country stops and watches that speech. It's very important. And the other is the Christmas number one. The Christmas number one on Top of the Pops, which is their countdown show, like American Top 40, except with British people. The Christmas number one is a big deal in England. They count down their, you know, top 10 songs, and then they get to the number one song, and that's the Christmas number one. It comes on right after the Queen's speech. If you have a Christmas number one, it's going to give it an extra 10 weeks of airplay and an extra, you know, a million copies that it's going to sell. But the most interesting place I've ever been on Christmas Day outside of the country was in Rome for two reasons. Number one is I went to Rome alone. I had just ended a relationship. It was, oh, so tragic and sad. I had just ended a relationship. And I said, you know, I need to get out. I need to go do something different. I'll go to Rome. I had never been to Rome. I'd never been to Italy. I thought this would be fantastic. You ever been there? Well, what I learned about Rome is that it's the most like America. I thought London would be the most like America. I was living in New York at the time. I thought it'd be most like America. It turns out that Rome was the most like America. The way they drive, the traffic patterns, how you have to get in your car and just go. Just go. The food's almost identical to that of New York. So I found it to be a great place to be at Christmas. And I was very lucky. I was in a nice hotel. I was at the top of the Spanish Steps. All of that. But there were two things about it. Well, there was a lot about it. Here was the first thing. The first thing was that the shopping in Rome is as spectacular as Fifth Avenue or Beverly Hills. It's insane. 24-hour markets, beautiful decorations, incredibly overpriced. Everything was incredibly overpriced. And there was this Mediterranean thrill to the air, not a chill, a thrill to the air that I had not expected. I'd never experienced anything like it before or since. You start to understand why the stereotypes are about Italians being romantic. It's because there's some, I swear, there's something in that air that it's, there's a pulse in that air that gets you caught up in a feeling of romance. Now, what do you do when you go to Rome? You do the tourist things. One of the things I went was to see the Sistine Chapel. I found out an amazing fact about the Sistine Chapel and most of the tourist locations in and around the Vatican. I found out this. I'm standing in line. It's a very long line. But I'm in Rome. I was alone. I had nothing else to do. And I was reading USA Today. Hold this thought. I was reading USA Today. And a priest comes up to me, and he says to me, "Are you an American?" I said, "Yes." "Come with me." And he grabs my hand, and he runs with me toward the Sistine Chapel. And we cut the line of the Sistine Chapel. We get inside, and I'm with this priest. And it turns out that if I'm with a priest, I don't have to stand in line. I don't know what the deal was. The minute we got inside, gee, everybody was happy. He was happy, and that was it. He didn't want anything from me. I didn't want anything from him. There was no romance involved. And there we were. Now I'm inside the Sistine Chapel, which, now, this is going to sound sacrilegious. There's Michelangelo's, you know, painting on the ceiling. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is terrible. Like, you know, the colors look cheap. Like, really? Those colors don't look beautiful. The drawing, the painting, that was magnificent. But the colors are like too vibrant. They were just too vibrant. All right, I'll put up with that. But here was the interesting thing. I'll tell you two things. Now I go into St. Paul's Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, where the Pope does his Mass. And it's 2 days before Christmas. And two things happened. I saw a beautiful stained glass window. You know, nice stained glass window. You figure you're at the Vatican, you're going to see some nice stained glass windows. And I take a photograph of it on film. Remember film, kids? Film. The other thing I saw, hold that thought. The other thing I saw were men in suits with clipboards walking around St. Peter's Basilica. Men in suits with clipboards. I'm like, what are they doing? They're in business suits. They're in clipboards. They're walking paces. They're walking lines. They're walking to the end. And they look very official. They have that official look of grown-ups doing grown-up things, a look I've never had. Or if I've ever had it, I'm phoning it up, believe me. Now, I realize that what the men in suits are doing is they are rehearsing the Pope's Mass. It never occurred to me that the Pope's Mass had to be rehearsed. I figured the Pope knew what he was doing. But it turns out the Pope's Mass is such a big deal, they rehearse it for days, where the chairs are going to be, where the Pope is going to walk, where the crowds are going to be held. It's a huge, huge deal. And therefore, rehearsed like crazy. I figured once they got it, they had it. No, 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 no. It's televised around the world. It's their big event, obviously. But here's the thing about the stained glass window. I had taken a picture of the stained glass window. Now, in St. Peter's Basilica, which is much bigger than I thought it was, another interesting fact is there are no pews. There are no pews in St. Peter's Basilica, the worship, the cathedral in the Vatican. No pews. I found that to be interesting. I took a picture of this stained glass window, and the picture is hanging over the fireplace in our living room to this day. I took a picture of the stained glass window, and I figured when it would come back, I'd have a nice picture of a stained glass window. The picture comes back. And instead of a picture of a stained glass window, it was a picture of pure white streaming light coming through a giant window. And I assure you that that streaming light was not in my viewfinder. That only appeared on the picture that got developed and got returned. I'm Walter M. Sterling.
Story time. Hear the story again anytime with bonus footage and scenes. Download Midnight Misfits from Apple iTunes. Midnight Misfits Podcast.
Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. It is a privilege to be on your radio station. And KFBK in Sacramento. Oh, many, many days. I'm going to be on KFBK in Sacramento this week, like on the 27th and on New Year's Eve. We're going to have a spectacular special show on KFBK in Sacramento. This is just, you know, a lot of Walter Sterling, a lot of Walter Sterling for you. And coming up, you and I are going to talk about The Man Who Created A Christmas Story, the movie that you're going to have to watch 800 or 900 times during the next few days. I have some stories about Gene Shepard, the man who wrote and created A Christmas Story. I'm Walter Sterling. Are we having fun tonight? This is a very special show. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. First of all, happy holidays. All of us in the Weather Center wish you health and happiness for you and your family right into 2020. And what a privilege to help with your holiday week weather right here on Sterling on Sunday. Hopefully your local meteorologist laid out the plans for any travel, for procrastinators, and for Santa. What's your weather tomorrow? Soaking rain and howling winds to the southeast, with rains reaching southern Virginia later tomorrow night and pushing offshore. Strong to severe storms down I-95, heavier storms over Miami. And there's a new Pacific system bringing feet of snow to California. That works into the Great Basin tomorrow. Heavier rains across SoCal east of Vegas. And there's the southern end of another push of winter weather across the Pacific Northwest. Snows inland into Idaho. Otherwise, you're dry for tomorrow and above freezing in all the major cities. How about that? But you want to know what to expect for the rest of the holiday week? Well, that's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Happy Hanukkah with Walter M. Sterling. I'll have complete weather for you coming up through the show with a real meteorologist because we are live. We don't suffer the embarrassment of a best of, the embarrassment that these other radio, so-called radio stations shove at you. The fact is there is nothing worse on the radio than a best of. That's why this radio station airs the show live. Do you realize that Sterling on Sunday, unlike any other syndicated show in America, is on every single station live? That's amazing. Even some of the big name shows, they're not live. Judy, do you have a terrible joke for us? Judy, do you have a horrible joke for us? Judy calls in each week with a horrible joke, and I hope she has it ready. Judy, are you ready? I don't hear Judy, guys. Why don't I hear Judy? Hands. Anybody like to tell me? Is this the curse of the evening? It's the curse of the evening. Well, Judy in Dallas has terrible jokes for us each week, and perhaps next week we'll get to hear Judy in Dallas and her terrible joke. Now let's talk to Larry Schindel. Larry Schindel is an expert on Ultimate Frisbee. Hello, Larry Schindel. Larry. Hello, Larry. Hello, Larry. Oh, I don't hear the phones. Our phones are not working because the delay's not working. That's why the phones don't work. Should I try Larry once more? Hi, Larry. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm just going to click on the thing and make it disappear. That's it. It's off. I'm not going to be able to. If we get any calls, it won't matter. You know, have you ever noticed at work that your equipment works perfectly and then one day none of it works? Like none of it works. And that's what happened to us tonight. The only thing that works tonight is the magic of my voice. Let's just think about that together. The only thing that's working tonight is the magic of my voice. Gene Shepard wrote A Christmas Story. He wrote the movie A Christmas Story. And he He also had a part in it. And Gene Shepherd was a brilliant broadcaster. And what's sort of sad about Gene Shepherd, who wrote A Christmas Story, is that after he wrote A Christmas Story and he had a sort of hit movie, he became cynical about the fact that he had spent 23 years on the radio. Now, let me tell you what Gene Shepherd did, because it's something that nobody on the radio can do today. They wouldn't even try to do it today. They wouldn't dare do it today. Here's what Gene Shepherd did. On the number one radio station in North America, on the most listened to radio station in North America, every night, Gene Shepherd got on the air for 1 hour, and he told a subversive story. They seemed nice because he had a friendly, booming voice, a big radio voice, a friendly sounding voice. But if you picked it apart and looked at the transcript, you realized it was a subversive message that he had. The stories were usually tragedies. He'd laugh, he'd tell a lot of jokes, he sounded happy, but from a Greek standpoint, they were tragedies. They always ended badly. A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story, the movie, it ends in a Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day. That's a tragedy. In fact, it was a very sad movie. People had their eyes shot out. People had their tongues stuck. Oh, did you see that story? Four genius kids on Long Island actually tried that and, in fact, got their tongues stuck to a metal pole outside last week. It's true. They stuck their tongues on a metal pole, and they all got stuck on the metal pole. Geniuses. Gene Shepherd, this is what he did. Every night on the radio, he would tell a story, and the story was an hour long. Now, unlike hosts on the radio today who talk, he never took a phone call. He never had a guest. He never had a guest. He did this for 23 years, 1 hour a night. He would tell a story. Now, A Christmas Story, the movie, A Christmas Story is not one of the stories he told on the radio. It's a compilation of stories that he told on the radio. It was many different pieces that he told on the radio. It included when his friend stuck their tongue on the pole. It was about the BB gun. It was about his father going to the basement and dealing with the furnace. He would tell a story for an hour about his father going to the basement and dealing with the furnace. He would do all of these, but A Christmas Story, the movie, was a compilation of all these things. If you grew up in the northeastern part of the country, you heard Gene Shepherd from Philadelphia to Boston to Maine to Canada, Montreal, Toronto. You heard Gene Shepherd. And if you were a kid, you were mesmerized by this, because this was the only show on the radio that was subversive. There were no shock jocks. There were no screaming talk show hosts. This guy'd get on the radio and he'd say, challenge everything, question everything. Everything your parents are telling you, it's phony baloney. None of it's true. All of his stories ended badly, yet they were wrapped in this beautiful sound. Now, what I did one night with Gene Shepherd is something that I look forward to talking with you about coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and I've got to talk with you about Stamps.com, because right now, you and I need Stamps.com. If you run a business, this is the solution. You and I work the second and third shift. When do we go to the post office? I think there are two 24-hour post offices in America. I think there's one in Manhattan and one in Las Vegas. I'm not aware of any other 24-hour post offices in America. Stamps.com. Stamps.com. Here's what Stamps.com does. It brings the post office to your office. Every single thing you can do at the post office, every type of postage, every type of package that you want to mail, you can now mail from the comfort of your home. Stamps.com enables you to print real U.S. postage in your home off of your computer printer. It allows you to weigh the package in your home on a very special free scale that they're going to give you just for putting in a special code, Walter. No, that's right. a special code Walter. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your computer, whether you're a small office sending invoices, on an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day. Stamps.com can handle it all, no matter what. Stamps.com, enter Walter in the promo space. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Stamps.com, enter Walter, and they have a special, special thing for you. Yes, 5 cents off each stamp and 20% off each package of priority mail just by entering stamps.com. Promo code Walter. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Story time.
You've seen the movie A Christmas Story. And A Christmas Story was written by a man named Gene Shepherd. Gene Shepherd was a radio guy. He was maybe the ultimate radio guy. He did what other radio guys couldn't do. He talked for 1 hour every night on the radio. Now, he wasn't on NPR. He wasn't on public radio or something embarrassing like that. No, Gene was on the number one radio station at the time in North America. The number one station in North America. And his show was subversive. Basically, what he said was question everything, challenge everything, and things are going to end poorly. Just like A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story looks funny, looks like fun, but it ends in a Chinese restaurant. It's a tragedy. In terms of a classic Greek play, it's a tragedy. His stories that he told on the radio were also tragedies. They all ended poorly. And he had no guests. He had no phone calls. To those of us in radio who grew up in the Northeast, he was a hero. What he did on the radio was amazing. It was especially amazing because it was on the number one station in the country. Well, here's, you know, it was a station that had Bob and Ray on in the afternoon. It had Arlene Francis, very serious broadcasters, and then Gene Shepherd. Now, if you look him up, and I hope you do, it's J-E-A-N. He spelled it J-E-A-N. His mother did a terrible thing to him. J-E-A-N, Gene Shepherd. I worked in the building where he worked, except I was at the FM. And at this time, in the dawn of time, the antediluvian time of broadcasting, the FM radio stations were afterthoughts. They were unimportant, which is why I could work in New York City radio at a very young age, because I got a job at an FM. No one cared about the FM. Those were unimportant. The real stations were the AMs. That's where general managers played golf all day. That's where they had expense accounts, ate at great restaurants. Then they came back and thought great thoughts. But I worked at the FM. And the other kid and I, Tony Russomano, who went on to be a great broadcaster in San Francisco, at KPIX television, at Channel 5 television, a great broadcast, great newsman. Tony was in San Francisco. But when we worked together, it was in New York at WOR-FM. Everything you need to know is that we were on the second floor of the building, and Gene Shepherd's radio station, the number one radio station in the country, was on the 24th floor out of 24 floors. We were on the second. He was on the 24th. His show was on at 10 p.m. One night, Tony Russomano and I dared each other to go watch Gene Shepherd do his show. And now it's 9:45. We get in the elevator, and we're already sweating. We are sweating. We're looking at each other like, we're going to get fired over this. Owned by the same company, but we're going to get fired. Now, to show you how long ago it was, kids, we get in the elevator, we go up to this other radio station on the 24th floor, and what do we see? No security guard, no lock on the door, nothing. Get off the elevator. And by the way, I could have walked in off the street and gone to the 24th floor of that building at this time, and nobody would have stopped us. These were different times. I get off, we go down the hallway. Now, we have no idea where we're going. And it wasn't like a normal radio station. Every host had their own studio. I swear to God, there were 20 studios there. Each host had their own studio. Now we find sort of where's Gene Shepard do his show? Where does he do his show? Where do we have to go? Well, now we see an engineer, a nice person who's a producer, and there's Gene Shepard. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he's just standing out there talking to them. And he looks at us, and we introduce ourselves, and we say, hi, we work downstairs at the FM. And you know what he did? He looked at us and he said, that's the future. I said, what? He said, one day all listening's going to be to that FM. There's going to be talk on the AMs and music on the FMs, and it's all going to be on the FM. All the music's going to be on the FM. And at the time, all the music was on the AM, but he got it right. Boy, did he get it right. Now he talks to us. I could not tell you what Gene Shepard said. I could not tell you what he was telling us. I don't remember a word of what he said, but I do remember this. When it was 10 seconds before he had to go on the air, he said, excuse me. He walked into that studio. And he talked for 45 minutes without one piece of paper, without one note, without anything in front of him. And he told a coherent story with a beginning, middle, and an end. And he told two parallel stories. Now I know what he did. Now I know how hard it was to do what he did. He'd start one story. He'd pretend that it was reminding him of another story. He'd tell this other story, and he'd bring them both together at the end without a piece of paper in front of him. And then when he was all done, Gene Shepard came out, looked at Tony Russomanno and myself, and picked up exactly where he had left off. He picked up exactly where he had left off. And that is the man who wrote A Christmas Story. It was amazing to spend that time with Gene Shepard.
Story time. Hear the story again anytime with bonus footage and scenes. Download Midnight Misfits from Apple iTunes. Midnight Misfits podcast.
This is the time where I get to say, I want to see what you're looking at. Time for the Sterling Snap. You know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at controls. Looking at controls. But I have so much fun when you send me a photograph of what you're looking at. If you're driving, don't take a picture. Wait till you pull over. We had great photographs last week from Las Vegas and Philadelphia especially and San Francisco. Thank you. Here's what you do. Use that overpriced iPhone that somebody gave you. You don't need it. You really didn't need that. Take a picture of whatever you're looking at and email it to me. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. That's S-T-E-R. S-T-E-R, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And then on Tuesday, Christmas Eve, I'll post them on Facebook at the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, and then everybody gets to share them and look at them and enjoy them. And you all get this incredible sense of community, because you see, the problem that you and I have is we do not fit in. We are not like other people. We're working at night. And there are really only two 24-hour cities in America, despite what the others say, Las Vegas and New York City. Here's how to know. How many 24-hour restaurants are there in other cities? Okay, it's Las Vegas, KXNT, and New York City. That's where there are 24-hour cities. That's it. I keep imagining there are 24-hour cities elsewhere. Oh, yeah, somebody today said to me, James Copeland and his wonderful family. It was great to meet James Copeland and his family. James Copeland and his family. We're going to have a Heartland's headlines from James Copeland coming up in seconds. But he said to me, Walter, why are you so obsessed with breakfast? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not obsessed with breakfast. And he thought that I kept talking about breakfast and eating breakfast. That's not what I talk about. Here's what I talk about. That's coffee. Here's what I talk about. I talk about the fact that one of the disappointments to me having grown up in New Jersey is that when I went forth into the land, that there would be 24-hour diners the way there are in New Jersey every place else. And there aren't. There are these weird things called breakfast diners or breakfast and lunch diners that close at 2 p.m. That's not a diner. That's a hobby. What the hell's that? It opens at 6 a.m. and closes at 2 p.m.? What? not a diner. A diner is 24/7. That's its purpose. In my mind, the purpose of a diner is that it's 24/7. I'm only aware of 24/7 diners in Las Vegas and New Jersey and New York City. I keep longing for a 24/7 diner in the rest of the country. And don't even get me started on to-go. Don't even get me started on, do you want a box for that? You know, you eat at a nice restaurant, you have extra food, and the waiter says, do you want that to go? Do you want that? And then we enter a whole chasm of the meaning of to go. And I will share that with you coming up. Plus, I'm pretty well convinced now that I have no friends. And I'm going to offer proof, see whether or not you think I have any friends, but I think the definition in adulthood, as we are adulting, I think the definition in adulthood of a friend is somebody you've had lunch with twice. If you've had lunch with them twice, they could qualify for being a friend. But if you haven't had lunch with them twice, I don't think they're your friend. But I've had more suspicious activity relative to this, and you and I will share this as a Midnight Misfit. Plus, we'll have Heartland headlines, and I have a secret message for you. If you have a secret decoder card, I will have a secret message for you in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. First of all, happy holidays. All of us in the Weather Center wish you health and happiness for you and your family right into 2020. And what a privilege to help with your holiday week weather right here on Sterling on Sunday. Hopefully your local meteorologist laid out the plans for any travel, for procrastinators, and for Santa. What's your weather tomorrow? Soaking rain and howling winds to the southeast, with rains reaching southern Virginia later tomorrow night and pushing offshore. Strong to severe storms down I-95, heavier storms over Miami. And there's a new Pacific system bringing feet of snow to California. That works into the Great Basin tomorrow. Heavier rains across SoCal east of Vegas. And there's the southern end of another push of winter weather across the Pacific Northwest. Snows inland into Idaho. Otherwise, you're dry for tomorrow and above freezing in all the major cities. How about that? But you want to know what to expect for the rest of the holiday week? Well, that's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Reports at 6 and 36 minutes. It's past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
It's time for a Heartland Headlines Christmas vignette. Although it's one you may soon yet forget, it's about how we celebrate out here in the sticks, with pageants and recitals and kids who get sick after baking for hours under 750-watt lamps, their rosin and bowstrings giving them cramps. Nearby, weary aproned women stand bell in air, hoping someone will drop a few coins in, who cares? As shoppers pass by, constantly uttering ope, that phrase that always fills us with hope. Merry Christmas, they say, as the snow starts to fall. Merry Christmas, indeed, is the thing of it all. From movies to concerts to trips to the zoo, and cooking and rapping and hullabaloo, it's easy to get caught up in the mess. It's a holiday some might even detest. But for most of us here on the windswept plains, it's a birthday celebration that must be maintained. And at night, when we bask in that warm amber glow of the fire and Walt on that old radio, we can sit and remember we're more one and the same. We've got the same struggles, we know joy and pain. We're all here together on this winter night, looking forward to next year we know will be bright.
Oh, I love that, James. James Copeland does Heartland Headlines, and he also does Bad College Radio. And he does a lot of the voices, such as the voices in the Drive-Thru Brew.
And now, the Sterling Band of Merry Players present Life at the Drive-Thru Brew. As the holidays approach, Beer Barn Dennis and Jake is on an extended holiday vacation from the Cuyahoga Correspondents Community College. We find him visiting his parents, who live in a trailer in Arkansas, where he's picking his brother Mikey's brain about a seasonal job.
Meal. Get over there and sit down and watch the Teletubbies.
Mikey, this trailer smells terrible. Mom and Dad sure have gone downhill since they discovered bootlegged cable and Cheese Whiz. It's nice that you've got a job to get out of here for a few hours. What I do not understand is, how you are even employed at the Walmart Corporation, as you are only 13 years of age.
Well, Jake, the Byzantine child labor laws of Arkansas make about anything possible. They're almost as complicated as the state rules on alcohol.
Mikey, please stop using large words. I know many things about alcohol, having worked in a beer barn. I am not as well versed in laws.
Not to worry, we'll get you in the door at Walmart. What are you good at?
I guess I know how to stand and identify beers and put them in cars and get harassed by older women.
Well, that's easy. I think you have a bright future in in-store pickup.
Boy, what excitement. Will Jake be able to collect all the necessary employment talismans necessary to get a job? Tune in next week and find out, and to hear him say this.
Yes, ma'am. I know I was not supposed to eat your dog biscuits, and that they are only for dogs.
That's next time on Life at the Drive-Thru Brew. Word Car speaking.
All right, it's 12 past the hour. 12 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. It's an exciting show because we're live. There's nothing else live at this time. Why am I on Sunday nights, you ask? Why is somebody this talented, as interesting, resigned to Sunday nights, to Media Mumbai, the slums of American media? I don't know. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. There's a thing that hits me every time I do the show, a particular moment when it hits me that the show is going to end, and I'm going to look into the abyss of 5 days a week.
This is a traffic red alert from 95.5 WSB.
Right now, we have an accident in Fulton County. Uber Dave telling us that a crash has all lanes blocked on Freedom Parkway westbound as you approach the I-75/85 downtown connector. Traffic at a complete standstill right now. That's, again, Freedom Parkway, all lanes blocked westbound as you approach 75/85, the downtown connector. Traffic at a complete standstill. January Keaton, 95.5 WSB.
The reason I don't think that'll happen is because I don't think I have any friends. Now, I used to have friends when I wore the suit and I could give out jobs, gave people jobs, a lot of people jobs, hundreds of people jobs. Did you hear me? Hundreds of people jobs. I'd give out jobs. And by the way, I want to be clear about this. I have no bitterness. I made a choice. And the choice is one I'm thrilled with, which is I get to talk to you. You and I get to talk here in Media Mumbai. But the fact is that I came to realize that I don't think I have any friends. And the definition for me of a friend is somebody who eats lunch with you more than once. In adulting, a friend is someone who eats lunch with you more than once. There are a number of people near where I live who I've eaten lunch with once. And then over the past year or so, I've tried to have more than one lunch, and I have failed every time. You want to have lunch, and then that day they'll cancel, and that day they'll cancel, and that day they'll cancel, and I don't get the second lunch. I don't think I have any friends as an adult. Is that possible? Like, not one. I'm not one of these people who believes that your friend is with you through thick and thin. No, 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 no. I don't think that. I've always believed that all of us have friends who are better at some circumstances than other. You have friends who are great if you're sick. They bring the soup, the tea. They're right there with you. There are other people who are phobic about being with sick people or phobic about going to hospitals. They're not going to come with you to the hospital. They're afraid of the hospital. And there are people who are great if you're very successful, but there are people who are also great if you're very poor. And there are people who are not such good friends when you're successful. They get a little afraid of you if you start to make money. They're good in different circumstances. But I think none of it matters unless they'll have lunch with you twice. And at the moment, I don't have one friend who stepped up and had a second lunch with me. I know this sounds crazy, but when you're on the air, you start to get crazy. It's true. You do start to get crazy. It's a weird thing. All right, let's see. It's 15 past the hour, 15 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. And let me share with you about the fact that I have chronic pain. I have chronic pain in my thumbs because of the way I use the computer. And I have chronic pain in my feet since I was 12 years old because I have an extra bone in my feet. Or, as my orthopedic doctor calls it, you have a monkey bone. You have a monkey bone. I have a monkey bone in each of my feet. This has caused me chronic pain. And I don't take any medication for the chronic pain. But I heard about distilled marijuana products. I heard about the CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com. And I looked at their website, and I saw that they had salves and lotions and drops and all sorts of medications that were distilled from marijuana. Legal. Didn't need a prescription, would not get me high. I ordered it. I ordered the salve. I put it on my foot and my thumb, and it did not take away the pain. It didn't take it away in a minute. It didn't take it away in an hour or the next day. It took the pain away instantly. And then I said to our salespeople, get CB Distillery on the show now. And you know what happened? This never happens. They did. CBDistillery.com is on our show now. And if you go to CB Distillery and order one of the products, you get 20% off. 20% off if you enter the promo code Walter. 20% off if you order the promo code Walter. If you have health concerns, you owe it to yourself to you see what CBD can do for you. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter Walter for 20% off. Where you get CBD products is crucial. Rely on CBDistillery.com for their quality control, independent lab tests, and nearly a quarter of a million customers. CBDistillery.com, promo code Walter. I'm Walter M. Sterling.
Doesn't fit in? That's why Sterling on Sunday is successful.
Oh, it's so successful. Listen, it's that time of year where it's cozy time. You want to be cozy with your special relationship, with your wife, and your wife wants to be cozy with you. Your husband deserves the gift of love on demand. If you want to make love to your husband anytime you want, if you want to make love to your partner anytime you want, it's time for you to order the little blue pill. The generic little blue pill. Oh, it's so expensive. Not anymore. It's a generic. You can order the little blue pill, which will enable your man to make love on demand. You know, like TV shows are on demand. Isn't it time that you have a man who can make love on demand? You deserve that. You deserve it for your Christmas. You deserve it for your Hanukkah. This is what my current wife has to say with about forhims.com/Walter.
I'm Walter's much younger, never suffering, very beautiful wife, and my friends and I love this time of year. We love a long stocking so filled that you can't even put your hands around it. We can enjoy a stocking like that anytime thanks to the Little Blue Pill. My friends and I get the Little Blue Pill from 4hims.com/Walter. It's not expensive anymore. Now it's a generic medicine. 4hims.com/Walter. The Little Blue Pill is a relationship-enhancing medicine. Make love when you want, on demand.
Right now, forhims.com/Walter has a special offer. I am not allowed to say what it is on the air. Forhims.com/Walter. The generic Little Blue Pill is a prescription medication that can only be given if you qualify for it after a conversation with a real doctor. Forhims.com/Walter. Forhims.com/Walter. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. No donation is too small.
It's time for the secret message. If you have a decoder card, you'll be able to decode this secret message, but only if you have the decoder card. There, thank God we lowered that. All right, you ready? Here we go. The first letter is M, then an O, T, Z, 4, Z, N. I'll repeat it once. You need a Midnight Misfit decoder card in order to decode this message. M, O, T, Z, 4, Z, N. Do you know what that was? What this sound was? You know what this is?
0, 0, 7, here, I.
You know what that is? It should scare you. What that is, it should scare you. It's a CONET signal. You ever hear of CONET signals? Like once a year I get to tell you what CONET signals are. You don't know what a CONET signal is, let me tell you. You can actually order a 10-set CD of those sounds. Can you imagine that? A 10-set CD? There are people crazy like James Copeland who will listen to those for days. They'll listen to those sounds for days. Oh, if you want your own Midnight Misfit decoder card, go to waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling.com, and you download it for free, and you print it out right now, like stamps.com, and there it is, and you can get our secret messages all the time. CONET signal, C-O-N-E-T, a CONET signal. Get a load of this. Around the world right now, if you're driving an 18-wheeler on a dark and scary road, I my goal is to scare you even more. A CONET signal. Here, listen to this. See if you can understand this. This is quite something. All right, what that is, around the world, on short wave, there are short wave stations that put out messages like that all day. And no one exactly knows where those stations are. Imagine that. For all the talk about pirate radio and where secret things happen, no one knows where the CONET signals come from. And no one can understand them. They're all different kinds. Like sometimes they'll go for 20 minutes with weird singing in Chinese or Japanese or Korean. No one's really sure. Other times they'll be speaking Swedish or German backwards. There'll be weird music tones. It was believed for a long time that they were the way that governments communicated with their spy network around the world, that their spies would listen on shortwave, they would listen for encoded messages, and they were in CONET signals. But I don't think that's true. I think it's something far spookier. No one has determined what it is. Like I say, for years, people said, well, those are spies. That's how they communicate with spies. I don't think that's true. I think we'd know by now. I think we'd know by now. It could be the lizard people. It could be underground people who are communicating with earth people. Or it could be messages that were put here years ago, thousands of years ago. And it's trapped in our atmosphere. Or it could be part of Oak Island. The TV show Lost, the brilliant TV show Lost, touched upon it. They had a 24-hour transmitter sending out an SOS signal from that strange French woman. And that's what the CONET signals sound like, a strange French woman saying weird stuff with unusual music in a nonstop loop. That's what the CONET, the CONET signals. But you look it up. You can buy a 10-set CD of the CONET signals. It's really weird. It's really spooky. I was talking about friendship. I would love anybody to challenge what I said about being a friend. I don't think I have any friends. When I was in eighth grade, I had a friend who I'd talked to in the halls. It was one of those talk-to-in-the-hall friends. It was not somebody on the phone. It was not somebody coming over to my house. It was a talk-to-in-the-hall friend. And this friend, he was a good guy. But one day, other kids saw me talking to this guy. And it was the weirdest thing. All the people who passed us in the hall made fun of him for talking to me. Made fun of him for being my, quote, friend. But we were just talk-in-the-hall buddies. And they made fun of him. They mocked him for it. And I don't think he ever really talked to me again. And that's how I feel now. I don't believe I have any friends. I used to have some friends in New York when I lived in New York, but I'm not so sure that that's true. It seems that once I left, they never said, well, can I visit you? Can we come and visit you? Not one of them ever said that. Isn't that weird? It's really, I know who my friend is. Lee Harris is my friend. Lee Harris, an anchorman on 1010 Winds. He's my friend. That's it. I don't think I have any other friends. I don't think it's paranoia. I have done my Christmas shopping. I hope you have. And I found out this year that I'm also a Jew. 23 and me, 24 and you, Ancestry.com. One of those, I found out that I'm Jewish. 50%. But we have yet to figure out where the Jewish comes from. I was really happy to hear about it. I was thrilled to learn about it. And it's great. And now I'm like, well, wait a minute. This is the first night of Hanukkah. What am I supposed to do? Then I find out in Hanukkah, there's an argument over where you start to light the menorah. At what point do you start to light the menorah? The left or the right or in the middle? And there'll be a lot of conversation and debate about that. My life is very complicated. It's just so complicated. All right, I've got more stories coming up for you, coming up in just seconds. Plus, I will share with you my deep thoughts about curbside pickup, the insanity of curbside pickup, the insanity of in-store pickup, and I would like you once again to help me find my car in the hood. My car is in the hood, and I have no way to get it out. I will tell you what has happened this week about my car in the hood. My story seems like I'm making it up. Like my mother would say, you're making that up. One of those things are, you're making, that can't be true what you're saying. I'm going to tell you about my car in the hood. Every single thing I'm telling you about my car in the hood is absolutely true. It's terrifying what can happen when you try to save a few bucks. And that's what I did, and that's how I got into trouble. Oh, my gosh, we're on Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. I have guests, Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. Are we having fun tonight? I think we're having fun tonight. Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. Are we having fun tonight? I think we're having fun tonight. Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every single email I get gets answered, and I look forward to talking to you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. First of all, happy holidays. All of us in the Weather Center wish you health and happiness for you and your family right into 2020. And what a privilege to help with your holiday week weather right here on Sterling on Sunday. Hopefully your local meteorologist laid out the plans for any travel, for procrastinators, and for Santa. What's your weather tomorrow? Soaking rain and howling winds to the southeast, with rains reaching southern Virginia later tomorrow night and pushing offshore. Strong to severe storms down I-95, heavier storms over Miami. And there's a new Pacific system bringing feet of snow to California. That works into the Great Basin tomorrow. Heavier rains across SoCal east of Vegas. And there's the southern end of another push of winter weather across the Pacific Northwest. Snows inland into Idaho. Otherwise, you're dry for tomorrow and above freezing in all the major cities. How about that? But you want to know what to expect for the rest of the holiday week? Well, that's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
It's time for a Heartland Headlines Christmas vignette. Although it's one you may soon yet forget, It's about how we celebrate out here in the sticks, with pageants and recitals and kids who get sick. After baking for hours under 750-watt lamps, their rosin and bowstrings giving them cramps. Nearby, weary aproned women stand, bell in air, hoping someone will drop a few coins in, who cares? As shoppers pass by, constantly uttering ope, that phrase that always fills us with hope. Merry Christmas, they say, as the snow starts to fall. Merry Christmas, indeed, is the thing of it all. From movies to concerts to trips to the zoo, and cooking and rapping and hullabaloo, it's easy to get caught up in the mess. It's a holiday some might even detest. But for most of us here on the windswept plains, it's a birthday celebration that must be maintained. And at night, when we bask in that warm amber glow of the fire and Walt on that old radio, we can sit and remember we're more one and the same. We've got the same struggles, we know joy and pain. We're all here together on this winter night, looking forward to next year we know will be bright.
Thank you, James. I love that. That is so good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post that on our podcast page. The Walter M. Sterling podcast is called Midnight Misfit. And that'll be our one of our podcasts this week. I have two stories. I have the Meeting Gene Shepherd, who wrote A Christmas Story story. And we have the amazing time that I worked Christmas Day all day on the radio, all day, with no food, no heat, no heat. We'll put those podcasts up. Plus, James Copeland's great poem. That's really good. Such a talented group of people, such an incredibly talented group of people. It's amazing that we're not on 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Imagine the inventory. Oh, my God, the salespeople would get very sweaty over that. Here's sweaty. Alexa, louder. Alexa, louder. Did I ever tell you about the time I was in somebody's house and the technology had just come out, these smart speakers had just come out, and it was on. And worse than that, it was playing public radio. There's nothing to give me hives faster than public radio. It makes me very disturbed, very disturbing that public radio even exists. I'm in this person's house alone, and the smart speakers are on, it's playing public radio, and I'm like, I have to turn this off. It's torture. This is torture for me. And I'm looking at the speaker looking for the switch because I'm an idiot. And then I run, oh, this is one of those speakers you talk to. I have to talk to this speaker. I talk to the speaker. All right. And then I realized I needed to say its name. And I did not remember its name. And I stood there for 10 minutes saying every woman's name I could think of to get the speaker's attention. True to my life, I had to do everything possible to get a woman's attention and failed. But there it was. Alexa, louder. Alexa, louder. Can't stand them. Well, anyway, in England, this poor woman had a speaker, smart speaker in her kitchen. And the way they had it set up was the speaker was attached to whatever company it is, Amazon or whatever, and the smart speaker was going to tell her when a package would arrive. So it would say, Susan, your package is 20 minutes away. But it would also say what the package was, which could be very embarrassing. Susan, a box of condoms is 20 minutes away. But it was worse than that. Susan, an X camera is about to arrive. And that was the Christmas gift for her daughter, and her daughter was in the kitchen with her. The smart, quote-unquote, speaker revealed the surprise for Christmas and ruined the Christmas, forcing this poor woman to go forth and buy another gift. All right, now, at this hour, the biggest challenge at work is the vending machine is either empty or behind the iron gate. Please explain the thinking. Especially at hospitals, I've noticed that the vending machine on the third shift is behind the iron gate. Why is the row of vending machines over there on the other side of the gate. What are they thinking? You and I need the vending machine, and they're always empty. And then here's an interesting stat. What are the most popular items in a vending machine? You ready? Snickers, Doritos, peanut M&Ms, because that's a meal. At this hour, a peanut M&M is a meal. A plain M&M is dessert. Cheetos, Cheez-It Original, Twix Bar, strawberry frosted Pop-Tarts, because then you get fruit, Rice Krispie Treats, which would kill me because I'm diabetic, Lay's Chips, and Mrs. Freshley's Jumbo Honey Bun. One of those big, big honey buns, that's like top 10 of the most popular items. I love this story. An employee finds out that a not-so-hidden camera is at work in the urinal and has filed suit. A New Jersey man says he found a hidden camera taped to a urinal at work, and his employer tried to sweep the incident under the rug or flush it down the toilet by opening up a bogus investigation into him, according to a new Monmouth County lawsuit in New Jersey. Jason Savage, a client success coordinator at this particular company, says he discovered the camera, which was placed to record the genitalia of individuals, taped to a work urinal. The 27-year-old Ocean County man told the New York Post that he was at the company's Iceland office when he saw the black electric tape on the urinal. Now, what I've got to tell you is what kind of business it was. Because the kind of business it was is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Doesn't fit in? That's why Sterling on Sunday is successful.
Stamps.com. You're running a business right now. It's the third shift. Oh, you forgot stamps. Or you've got some last-minute Christmas cards to get out. You going to have time to get to the post office tomorrow? Are you going to have time to get to the post office on Christmas Eve? No, of course not. But there's a post office in your office. You just have to open it up. There's a post office in your bedroom right now at stamps.com. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, you just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. And here's the best thing. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp. 5 cents. Think about how many Christmas cards you mailed out just now. How much would you have saved if they were each stamp was 5 cents less? And 40% off priority mail. 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. As part of the Walter M. Sterling deal, they're going to send you a beautiful postage scale. Not one of those cheap springy ones. An electronic real scale. Hooks up into your computer. You see exactly how much the postage is and how much the package weighs right on your computer screen. This is a great, great product. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type Walter. That's stamps.com. Enter Walter. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. This is Sterling on Sunday. This is a great Christmas for my family because we're all healthy. I have a 7-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old, 3 daughters, and a very beautiful wife, and they're all healthy. And my 17-year-old was up for early decision at Syracuse University, and you know what? They deferred her. They didn't make a decision. We're going to make a decision in a couple months. I'm like, why would you torture her like that? Make a decision. Because if you said no, all right, you said no, she could live with that. Now she's at the point where she's like, I forget it. I don't want it. You know, she's at the 17-year-old logic is, forget it. I don't want it. But the Newhouse School at Syracuse University is a great communication school. If that's what she wants, I hope she goes. But I hope you have the sort of Christmas that we're going to have where everybody's healthy. In the past 10 years, we've had some incredibly challenging Christmases. we've had some incredibly challenging days. And what I've learned from that has been a tremendous gift. What I've learned from it is that if you know somebody who's having a tough time, either emotionally, financially, health-wise, whatever it is, you're smart. You know they're having a hard time. And you may imagine you can't help them. If you have a friend who's got cancer, you're like, what can I do? Either the guy's got cancer, the woman has cancer, or they lost a child, or they lost a relative, or they're about to be foreclosed on, something astronomical and catastrophic. You might imagine that there's nothing you can do for them. You might be thinking, I don't know what to do. Let's turn it over to the state. Let them take care of them. I'll tell you what you can do. This is what I learned. You call them up and you say these magic words to somebody who's in trouble. These are magic words. You say, how can I help you? They're not going to say, pay off my mortgage. They are not going to say, take care of my kids. They are not going to say, give me a job. They're going to say, would you buy me a gallon of milk? That would be great. Would you take care of my 2-year-old for half a day so my wife and I have a break? Could you drive my mother to the store? You'll be stunned. You'll be stunned at what they ask. It'll be something incredibly easy for you to do because you're on an even keel right now. But it'll be something that will be a gift to them because they're not. And it's a very interesting thing when people or organizations or the government comes along and decides what's good for somebody, it's wrong. It's always wrong. And that's why when people are in trouble, they have friends who disappear. They'll have a, quote, friend who disappeared. I used to have a friend, and now they're gone. And it was hard times, they disappeared. No, it's because your friend, in their mind, made the problem so much bigger than it was that they decided all on their own that they couldn't help you. They abandoned you because they imagined they couldn't help you, whereas what you needed was to be taken to a movie. That's the tragedy of it. When things go a little off, they imagine, other people imagine that they can't help you. That's my suggestion, which is if you know somebody who's having a tough time, whatever it is, don't imagine what it is that they need. Pick up the phone, call them and say, what do you need? How can I help you? And if you can't do it, you say no. But the fact that you ask them will be such a gift, you can't imagine it. You can't imagine what a gift that'll be. I was telling you about this genius company in Jersey, in Iceland, New Jersey, that taped a camera, a computer camera, a streaming camera, in a urinal, in a bathroom. And a male employee saw it, realized what it was taken a picture of, filed a lawsuit against this company in New Jersey. Here's the best part of the story. I started to tell you this before, but here's the best part. I can't top this. You ready for this? Listen to this. The company was a professional human resources consulting firm. It was a human resources consulting firm that taped a streaming video camera to a urinal. An HR firm did that. I believe that if you don't have a pure profit motive, and if you did not imagine doing a job while you were in high school, that you are at some root corruptible. And therefore, it has been my experience and belief, personal experience, that anybody I've ever met in HR has some profound weakness and is corruptible. Because in high school, they didn't say, you know what? I've got to go into HR. That I'm telling you, what I must do is go into HR. Airline pilots say I've got to be a pilot. Firemen say I've got to be a fireman. But HR people do not say I got to go into HR. That's not their dream in high school. It's a job they take to earn money, which is fine. But don't confuse that with a noble goal. And there it is. A New Jersey HR firm got busted for allegedly taping a video streaming camera to a urinal. Can you imagine that? All right. I have an email address. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. I have a Facebook page. We are awash in social media. I have a Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. And on that Facebook page are things you don't see on other people's Facebook pages. I try to do something special and unusual. And then I have a Twitter account, Walter M. Sterling. I send out tweets a couple times a week. Some of them are entertaining. Some of them are not. Some of them are okay. Some of them, you know, they're just, you know, they're not. And I look forward to always talking to you. Now, next week, what we're going to talk about is where is my car? Because I gave my car to an auto mechanic in the hood. And that was in August. And when I said to him this week, I said, listen, I really need the car for Christmas. You got to give me the car back for Christmas. It needed a new transmission. It was a job he could not do. He sent it to another mechanic. I bought and own the transmission. Now he's got a new transmission. He's going to put it in. His buddy's going to put it in. He's going to supervise. This guy's going to supervise. And I said to him, when can I get this car back? I need the car. You've had it since August. Where is it? And he said, there are three people you can't rush. What do you mean there are three people I can't rush? Three people you can't rush, he explained. You cannot rush your dentist, your doctor, and your auto mechanic. What are you talking about? Your dentist? Your doctor and your auto mechanic. Don't rush them. Oh, yeah. Like, what? What? I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to get it back. And I'm a little suspicious of the fact that the plates seem to have disappeared. Should I be worried about that at all, that the plates have disappeared? I hope you take it easy at Christmas. Take off Christmas Eve, take off Christmas Day, and I'll be on KFBK many days this week. That's the Sacramento station. I hope you listen to the stream, and you and I will get to talk to them. Until then, remember that the greatest gift that you and I can be given, the greatest gift you and I can be given, is a request for help. Because when somebody asks you for help, they have thought about that for sometimes months or even years before they ask for the help. It's a tremendous gift. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.